It's time to hear what you think of the BBC World Service in Over to You. This week, we're devoting the whole programme to your thoughts about how the BBC World Service reports on science. Be it positive.
Sometimes I'm amazed when I can listen to a presenter participating in an experiment.
Or critical.
Most of the time I feel detached from the show when such topics are aired.
I'm Rajan Datar, and this is Over to You. Now, the BBC World Service has been broadcasting shows about science ever since the space mad 1950s. Today, programmes such as Discovery, Science in Action, Health Check, Click and Crowd Science form a cornerstone of its output. But what do you make of what you hear? And how might science coverage change in the future?
Hello, Over to You. This is Jimmy from Barbados. I thoroughly enjoy most of the science programming that I have heard on BBC.
I think one of the ones that you've been watching.
Yes, Greenland yesterday, I think 56% of the ice sheet was melting.
So you just had a sort of wet sheen on the...
I liked it when you had the Science in the Business Daily podcast, where they went through the elements that made up our modern society. I also liked it when you have Science in Action.
Hello, Over to You. This is James Dowling Healy in Connecticut in the United States of America. I happen to greatly enjoy the science programming that the BBC World Service does, and most recently, I enjoyed the coverage of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing.
The audio recordings of the conversations between Mission Control and the Apollo 11 astronauts are instantly recognizable whenever you hear them.
I liked how in-depth the coverage was and how much of the broadcasting day was devoted to it.
Well, joining me in the studio is the BBC's science programmes editor, Deborah Cohen. Hello, Deborah.
Hello.
Now, we heard just then that the moon landing, which James mentioned, is in a sense an obvious example of where science was able to break out of its specialist tag and get onto the wider agenda. What other areas of science do you think warrant that similar exposure?
We did another podcast series this year called Parentland, which was actually about global parenting. And the idea was that we would give to the audience around the world the latest scientific support for how to bring up your children. So I think that was another example of something that was very much about something that affects lots and lots of people, lots and lots of people have an interest in, that was really rooted in science.
One thing that occurs to me about science generally in reporting is that you often get this kind of headline-grabbing study which shows that there's a new cure for this or that, which then seems to disappear from the agenda completely, or a new technology breakthrough, which sometimes feels like a plug for the company. How do you deal with those situations?
Well, we often, you know, at least we have the luxury in our programmes like Science in Action and Health Check and Digital Planet to spend a little bit more time exploring the context of a headline. So we'll spend 5 minutes, you know, maybe even up to 10 minutes talking around a subject, around a finding. So as you know, science is, the way science moves on, people write papers that are then published in journals. And then that is where the headline, a lot of the headlines come from. So what we will do is talk to the person who's done the research, but we'll get a bit of context of what happened before. Does this change things? So I think you get a sense that it's not just a headline, because it is true, often you'll read headlines in papers or hear them on the news where it's, this is good for you, and this, and then the next week you'll hear that the same thing is bad for you.
Is it something about actually sitting there with your screen and people talk about whether the screens might somehow affect people's brains, or is it what they're doing on social media, or something completely different?
We examine three mechanisms or things that might...
Hello, I'm Dermot Ryan from Dublin, Ireland. The aspect of science programming at the World Service that has impressed me most has been its commitment to long-form, in-depth documentaries on what might appear at first to be relatively narrow subjects, but which subsequently open up to reveal an expansive cast of characters and a dense weave of interdisciplinary strands. I particularly relish the way these forms reveal the humanity behind science, its pervasive influence in everyday life, and the role of happy accident in the often crooked roads of scientific progress.
In terms of longer form programming, where can you see a need for more coverage in the future? We've seen how climate has come to the fore. Where else can you see that happening?
Well, I think there's a lot about health and wellness, and I think that's an area that people these days, given there's so much information out there that people can find on the internet that comes from all different kinds of sources, I think there's a real need for someone like the BBC to tell you what actually is evidence-based, where there is actually scientific research, where it's just someone who's either selling a product or has just got this idea. We're very selective in what we bring to the audience, and we hope that what we bring is research that is really high quality and that will have the potential to change people's lives.
We got this question now.
Hello, over to you. This is Agnes from Nairobi, Kenya. I'd like to focus on two programs that I mostly listen to. That's The Y Factor and Crowd Science.
We may not get anything out of the rock.
I'm Moni Chesterton, and today I'm out with fossil enthusiast Chris Andrew and his rock hammer on the famous beaches of Lyme Regis.
On Y Factor, I love how they've angled their selection of topics. It's generally what can happen or happens to anyone anywhere in the world, and that makes me relate. On Crowd Science, because the show is anchored on listeners' questions, most of the topics covered is geared toward science that happens in the first world, so to speak. Example, fossils, fossil fuels, and astronomy. These are not areas of interest from where I come from. Therefore, most of the time I feel detached from the show when such topics are aired. So perhaps they can spread out how these topics are covered in different parts of the world.
Now, I'm not sure that The Y Factor can be classed as a science programme, but anyway, Agnes says she sometimes struggles with topics on crowd science if they're too personal to the person asking. How do you respond to that?
Oh, this is always a really difficult one because, at least in crowd science, the questions we answer are from the audience. It is crowdsourced. So I think, you know, all we can do is try and get into the minds of what we think the audience will be interested in, or things that interest us as humans, not just as science producers.
So you welcome the idea that it's not an exclusive domain for just specialists. This is something that everyone should engage with.
Yes. I would encourage Agnes to send us her questions.
And we got this comment.
This is Andrew from Kampala. I really appreciate the fact that science is part and parcel of the BBC World Service. And I still appreciate the fact that you reach out to the scientists who simplify the theories. Sometimes I'm amazed when I can listen to a presenter participating in an experiment. For example, there was one about ghosts. I mean, it cannot get better than that.
Has interest in science and coverage changed over the years in terms of the BBC World Service and how seriously it's taken now?
Oh, I think so. I think it really has risen up the agenda.
And people are more science literate these days, do you think?
I think people are interested in it a lot more. And I think there's a lot more popular science books out there, lots of more popular science sites on the internet. Whether people actually are more literate, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I hope that we are helping them become literate and understand how science works.
Deborah Cohen, BBC's Science Programmes Editor, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Over to You is your platform to tell programme makers, be they scientific or otherwise, what you think. So do please get in touch.
Email overtoyou@bbc.co.uk. You can call and leave a message on +44 144 960 9000, or you can tweet @OverToYouBBC.
And with that, it's time to say goodbye. I'm Rajan Datar, the producer is Howard Shannon, and I'll be back with more of your feedback at the same time next week.